Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Empowering Family Caregivers. This is our show on Blog Talk Radio, sponsored by eCareDiary.com. I am Susan Bida, your host and co-founder of eCareDiary.com, a website for caregivers of aging loved ones. Today, the focus of our show is person-centered approaches to dementia care. And to help us shed light on this, I'm so pleased to introduce our distinguished guest, Joanne Rader, a clinical specialist in mental health nursing and author of Individualized Dementia Care, Creative, Compassionate Approaches, as well as another book called Bathing Without a Battle, both of which won the American Journal of Nursing Book of the Year awards. She has a master's in psychiatric mental health nursing, and she served on the faculty of Oregon Health Science University School of Nursing for 20 years. She has worked on funded projects to reduce the use of physical restraints, inappropriate psychoactive medications, and defensive self-protective behaviors during bathing and morning care for persons with dementia. Joanne, it is really an honor to have you on the show today. Thank you.
I'm glad to be here.
You are here to discuss a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. One of the topics is bathing, and we'll also talk about individualized dementia care. Can you tell us all what do you mean by individualized dementia care as opposed to person-centered dementia care?
Well, that they really mean pretty much the same thing. There's a lot of different language that's being used now. Person-directed care, person-centered care, individualized dementia care. They basically mean the same thing, which means that the care is adapted to the person with dementia. It's adapted to their particular needs and wishes and desires. And I sort of came around to that. I've been working with folks with dementia for about 35 years, and it's been the bulk of my nursing career, and I feel blessed to have done that work. And when I started, basically, we were asking folks with dementia to adjust to sort of the traditional model of care, which was sort of a hospital-based model where they were asked, if they were in a care setting, to fit into whatever routine was established by this an institution. And it just doesn't make sense because, you know, folks with dementia, we need to adapt the environments to their needs because they are not able to adapt. That's part of their disease process. And so we sort of had the wrong model. Nobody's fault, just we were learning. So the idea of, well, what you have to do is really individualize it, how you talk to people, how you address their care needs. Everyone has a special – it's a special way of doing it that will meet their particular needs, and there's not one way to do it.
Is it also because there are different ways in which people who are diagnosed with dementia experience dementia?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And certainly we've learned a lot. It used to be everybody just was called and said that they had like organic brain syndrome or dementia. Now we know we've got Lewy bodies dementia, vascular type dementia, Alzheimer's. And each of those, too, has a bit of a different way it affects people. So it has to be, you have to adapt to
right.
that.
Okay. Well, now thank you for clarifying that. So, I guess of all the challenges that family caregivers face caring for their loved ones who suffer from dementia, why did you feel the need to focus on bathing?
Well, it just kept coming up as a big issue for people. I knew that because of the work I had done in long-term care settings, and I also knew that from family members in the community that I was working with. Mm-hmm. And so I knew it was one of the major issues that confronted people where the biggest amount of resistance often occurred and sometimes even really battles where, you know, that people were being forced to do things, that the person with dementia was forced to do something that they really kind of needed to have done but didn't understand the why and were just overwhelmed by it. So it just came forward as a major issue.
And I believe it because, you know, my aunt and my cousin were charged with caring for my grandfather who suffered from dementia. And the way they would describe that experience was really, I mean, incredibly challenging, from having to carry him into the shower. And you're probably going to tell me that, you know, we're probably going to learn a lot from this, you know, discussion we're having today, and probably a lot of what we did was not necessarily the right way to go about it. So I'm really so pleased that you're here to really educate all of us on the right approaches to bathing. So why does bathing in particular cause so much distress to caregivers and seniors with dementia?
Well, it's really many, many, many reasons. And one of the things that I often say is, well, it's kind of normal to not want to be bathed the way we bathe some folks by, you know, with another person. It's kind of normal behavior to not want to have someone else assist you in the shower or touch you in private ways, particularly if you're a person with dementia and you can't really understand the reasons why that has to be done, and you may not, you will not know who the person is. So that's one reason. Just the environments can be very frightening, and there's a lot of things going on at one time when you're trying to bathe someone. Their clothes have been taken off, they're cold, they might be uncomfortable, and even if the person doesn't have any form of dementia, but let's say they have something like arthritis, just the moving from you know, their wheelchair to a shower chair or something like that can be extremely, extremely painful. And then you add to that that they're sitting there naked and cold, and it's kind of understandable why people resist.
It makes so much, it's so logical that, you know, they've spent their entire lives bathing themselves, and now, you know, they're diagnosed with this illness and are vulnerable to, you know, those who care for them to basically bathe them. So, of course, it's an uncomfortable situation. Now, you know, we've been, you know, hearing about cases where seniors with dementia are forced to bathe against their will. And tell us why this is dangerous for caregivers as well as for the senior themselves.
Well, when a person with dementia is forced to do something against their will, and it could be something very small that triggers them, and they go into what's called generally a catastrophic reaction, which means you might just approach them to tell them about going into the shower, or it might be when you're taking their clothes off, and they're so overwhelmed by the demands placed on them, and they so do not understand what's being asked of them, that they suddenly sort of have a very sudden shift in their behavior. And sometimes that can be a yelling, a striking out, or it can sometimes be a withdrawal, but usually in a forced bathing situation, it's where they're actually verbally or physically resisting what's going on. And they're just overwhelmed by the situation. The problem is that people get hurt in that situation. Sometimes people can fall down. It could be the caregiver. It could be the person being bathed. If you look in care settings like nursing homes and assisted living, and you look at incident reports, there's a high percentage of incidents of injuries that occur to both residents and staff that occur during the bathing process, and that's usually because their person is being forced against their will. But let me clarify, it's not really the staff's fault that they're being forced. We have a sort of a societal bias that says the way you get people clean is to put them into a shower or a tub. And so people feel, and family caregivers are the same way, unless I do that, I'm not doing my job right. And one of the things we learned in some of the research we did is that it is absolutely not necessary to put someone in a shower and tub in order to maintain their hygiene and their skin.
Right. I mean, they can be cleaned with a wet cloth or right in their beds, right?
Absolutely they can. And, you know, actually there's a really high percentage of seniors in their own homes who don't get into a shower or tub anymore because of fear of falling or things like that. And they just wash up at the sink and nobody even knows.
So it's a cultural mindset.
Yeah, it is a very strong cultural mindset that it takes a lot of water to get people clean. And believe me, I had to get through that myself, when I was doing this research. One of the things that I did when I was first involved in doing this, looking at bathing, was I actually had a shower in a nursing home setting to experience what that was like.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked my caregiver, and she did a beautiful job, but it was very, very cold. And even though when I'm in a shower, I'll put my face up and have the water come down in my face, mm-hmm. and it feels fine, when someone else is doing that to you, you sort of feel like you're drowning, you know. And your bottom sort of sinks in the hole if you're sitting in a shower chair. Your legs dangle. My feet turn blue. So I'm kind of going back to why it's distressing. But I learned that, it's really not – it's a very uncomfortable thing for a person who's in good health. So it makes sense that a lot of people that are older and have more disabilities are going to have a more difficult time with it.
So let's talk about – so you're saying that necessarily being in a bath or a shower may not necessarily be necessary.
No.
Okay. And what about daily bathing?
It's really those of the listeners who – maybe, we're all aging, but if you're, reached over the age of 40 or 50, you probably notice that your own skin is sort of getting drier and requires a lot more moisturizing. What happens when we bathe elders on a daily basis or even a two or three times a week, I'm talking about the whole body, is that we are actually washing off, particularly if we're using traditional type soaps, we're washing off the natural body oils that we actually need, and it's causing drier, scalier, itchier skin, which if a person with dementia, they're going to scratch it, and that can set up off a whole different set of problems. And so we actually might be doing more damage by daily bathing than is necessary. And I'll just be frank. What one woman said to me when I was trying to convince her to bathe, she said, "Look," she said, "I don't sweat, I don't have sex, why do I need a bath?" And this is a woman with dementia, but she made a lot of sense. And she caused me to rethink my own thinking.
Yeah.
And it's not necessary. Now, there are certain parts of the body, of course, that do need daily washing. We're in skin folds under the arms, under women's breasts, in the genital areas for both men and women.
Okay.
Those areas, of course, do need to be bathed on a regular basis, several times a day often.
Okay. All right. So, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for also kind of shedding light on this sort of cultural mindset that we have to, necessarily be underwater. But, I think that'll make a lot of families feel relieved to know that they don't always have to, take their loved one into a shower or bath, because it's, even for, from my own, understanding and personal experience, I mean, if you're dealing with a senior who's very tall or heavy, I mean, that can be really, that can be very difficult too.
Absolutely, absolutely. It can be very dangerous and very difficult. So it's good to know that there are very simple solutions to this.
Yes. Now, let's talk about, so you were talking about the experience for, our loved one being naked and being shy. I mean, so what can caregivers do to give them a sense of safety and comfort when it comes to bathing?
Well, there's a lot of things. And, that's kind of why we wrote a whole – I couldn't believe it, but we actually wrote a whole book on bathing, folks with dementia. But for one thing, that's the basic thing, is to keep them covered with a towel. Again, you can have a person sitting in the bathroom – sitting on the toilet, they could either be sitting on the toilet with the seat up or down, either way, depending upon what their dignity, how they feel about that. They can be sitting at the bedside using a basin of water or something, and you just have them covered with towels or a blanket or something, and you literally just lift those things up, and you use a no-rinse soap product with just a wrung-out washcloth, and you just go over their body, and we actually did this in our research and found that people's skin was actually in better condition than when they got in the shower more routinely. Their skin was in better condition just using a no-rinse soap product once a week than using the shower twice a week.
When you say no-rinse soap, I mean, we're not talking about a soap bar here. We're talking
No, there are a lot of products on the market out there.
A few examples of some that you might recommend.
One that I particularly like is called Septisoft. It's by Calgon Vestal.
Okay.
And I'm not on their payroll or anything. It's just a really good soap.
No, I am, and I'm asking because I'm not really familiar myself with
What I like about that particular one is it's not a soap. It's a cleanser, and it is an oil based soap. And I think it's like almond oil and coconut oil is the base,
mm-hmm.
and so you're actually putting oils back on the skin when you're using it, and it
Great.
Doesn't leave any soapy residue, so it doesn't have to be washed off. So
Great.
You can literally just take a wrung out washcloth, and go over that person's body. You know, you put a basin with a little bit of that soap in there. It has to be diluted a little bit, and then you're done, you know. And you don't even have to dry because it's a wrung-out washcloth, and it absolutely adequately cleans the skin. Obviously, if a person has had an episode of incontinence, you're going to have to go over it with a clean washcloth a number of times to get all the residue off.
Right.
But,
so, this is available in, you know, pharmacies anywhere?
Yes, it pretty much is. There's other products, because I don't want to just plug one product. Another product is something called Aloe Vesta, which is a foaming cleanser. That's sort of the same thing. You have a wet washcloth, you put some of the foam on it, and it's a no-rinse. There's quite a few no-rinse products out there. But, again, you want to make sure that, you know, it's something that isn't going to be drying to the skin. And
I'm not familiar with these names that you brought up, but I think it's very important mm-hmm. for families out there to be aware of them. So these are no-rinse cleansers. So basically you don't need water necessarily to rinse this off. You can use it on a cloth and clean them that way.
With a basin of water. Now, there are also products that come in little packages, and you can buy these in the drugstore that are disposable, like large, like maybe 8 to 10 disposable washcloths.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of heat them up. Sometimes they say put them in the microwave, but you have to be it's kind of like baby wipes.
Okay.
But it's the same principle as baby wipes, but they're bigger and they have a different solution on them. And you just take one cloth for different parts of the body, and then you're done. I mean, you see these used in the hospital sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that they are rather expensive, and then I think just from an ecological point of view, the problem is they're disposable, you know. So you can do the same thing with a basin of water and a bunch of very inexpensive washcloths. You don't want heavy washcloths. You want the cheap washcloths because you don't want them to carry that much water in them. And you just wring them out. You could put like 8 of them in a basin of water with a no-rinse soap solution. Take one and wash the person up with that. And then if you feel like it's dirty, you get a clean one out of the basin.
Great. Thank you for these. Yes, absolutely. And thank you for these suggestions because, I don't think that, your average person knows about these products.
No.
I mean, the first time I came into contact with what you're talking about was in a hospital setting, and I didn't realize that they were available, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the commercial, in commercial stores and whatnot. So thank you for that. Let's talk a little bit about the fear of water. Why do seniors with dementia express fear of water in bathing? And what's going on there with the water?
Well, it's very hard to understand all the dynamics of it. As I said, some of it I think is it's not just so much the water, but it is the sense of you don't have any control over the water coming at you and that you are in a situation with a supposed stranger and you're naked. That right there will do it. But the other thing we found when we were doing our research was there are an interesting number of people who resist this type of bathing that may have had some kind of a trauma in their earlier days. One woman we know, when she was placed in a bathtub, was terrified, and then getting the history from the family, she had found her father dead in the bathtub a number of years ago. So it was like recreating that trauma for her. There also may be some things related to it. We had some people who we were suspected may have had a history of sexual abuse in their past in terms of being naked. That's not necessarily related to water, but so that there was could be some trauma in the past that gets, like a post-traumatic stress thing that gets recreated. It could often be just even if they have been forced to bathe in another situation, that every time you try to do it again, it re-triggers that.
Is it important to learn what their bathing habits were, prior to the dementia and kind of replicating those bathing habits rather than introducing them to something that we think is normal but maybe completely out of the norm for them?
Absolutely. Getting that kind of history from the family, if the individual can't give it to you, is critically important. And sometimes we'd have people coming into a care setting and the family would say, are you going to give Mom a shower? And we go, oh, yeah, well, we'll be doing that on such and such a day. And they'll go, oh, good. And then that's all the information they give. And then we try to put this person in the shower and they have a major meltdown. And we stop, because what you should do is stop when that happens and realize this is not the method for them. And then when we get more history from the family, we find out this person hasn't been in a shower or tub for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to get that information and how they've responded to that and how, because, as I said, there's lots of ways of keeping people clean.
Right. And just going back to what you said earlier, too, so a lot of these traumas will come out, manifest themselves, for example, in the shower or bath setting, if it was a trauma that even occurred a long time ago and might not have even surfaced even as they got older, but then once they have the dementia, so the dementia kind of, magnifies that or that in combination with, I don't know, it's just really interesting.
It is interesting. I always assume that all behavior has meaning. And my job is to figure out what the meaning is as best I can. And sometimes you just have to, make the assumption that, okay, I don't understand the reasons, but for this person, it is absolutely way too traumatic to try to put them in the shower or the tub. So I'm just not going to do it, and I'm going to find a way that is pleasant for them or at least tolerable. And, by 99% of the time, you can come up with something if you're creative enough and you're not locked into it having to be done in a particular way, a particular time, which is very hard. I think that's harder for family caregivers than it is for people in care settings, because family caregivers are usually doing this, 24/7.
Right. So we were talking a little bit about, the number of times how often we need to bathe. What can family caregivers do to make seniors feel inclined to bathe? I mean, if not often at all, just bathe, period.
Well, it's an extremely, again, it's a very, very individual thing. Sometimes you can give them a reason. Well, we're going to go out, your daughter's coming to visit, or we're going to go out to dinner or whatever. So you give them a reason why. And again, going back to something from their past might be useful. Some people we say it's Saturday night, it's time for a bath, if that happens to have been, in part of their history. So you can sometimes try to find a reason. What usually doesn't work is if a person has had an incontinence episode, if you point that out to the person, of course, it depends on who they are, but for most people, that's pretty humiliating.
Yeah.
And so that is not necessarily a good approach. So you might say something like, Helen, I see that something is spilled in your lap. You've got some wetness there. Would you let me clean that up? So it's you're not making them feel wrong for what has occurred, and you're just offering to assist them in some way. This is something I don't like to do, but sometimes I'll just put it out because sometimes you get desperate.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can actually take a glass of warm water mm-hmm. and by accident spill a little bit on that person
mm-hmm.
in their lap or something so that you fail, oh, my gosh, look what I've done now to you. Oh, this is awful. Please let me clean this up. I'm so sorry that I was so silly as to spill something on you.
Let's be frank here. I mean, when would you use a situation like that? Are you saying that if they've had an episode of incontinence, that there may be a situation where they won't want to clean themselves because it's so humiliating, so they'll just stay in that situation until?
Yes.
For this reason, you're suggesting this option. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
This is a last resort.
Yeah.
Because, you almost never have to go there.
Yeah.
As in my experience, and again, I'm saying, talking about 35 years of experience.
Yeah.
But, before you get to that point, what you do is you try to find that little window and that way to approach them that, you know, makes them, you know, willing to do it. And to do it in a way where they're covered and they're it's private and it's comfortable. I mean, one of the things we talk about, we won't have time to go in for it here, but you can actually do something like a covered towel bath in bed, which is a great way to get people clean because they're laying down in the bed, and so you have a lot of really good access to their body parts to clean them up. So there's just a lot of other alternatives. But it is, we do run into people who just are very resistive. And, of course, you know you have to get that off at some point in time. Not immediately, but certainly within a, you know, several-hour time frame.
This is fantastic. And thank you so much for sharing these tips and great recommendations based on your experience, and you've mentioned you've done research on bathing. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, what inspired you to do the research?
Well, it was just observing people with dementia who we were at that time. I believe we had to put people into a shower tub, and seeing them how traumatic it was for them and resisting. And I came to see that from their perspective, they were being physically attacked. And even though the caregivers, including myself, were just trying to do what we thought was best for them. And so I realized this was resistive, self-defensive behavior. It wasn't combative behavior. And so I just knew there had to be other ways of doing it. And so we experimented, you know, certainly before we started our research project. But we basically went into 16 care settings in North Carolina and Oregon, identified the most difficult people to bathe that had a diagnosis of dementia, and then tried to do other types of interventions. And that's how we came up with using the no-rinse products, using bathing people in bed, bathing people while they're sitting on the toilet, bathing people at the bedside. In our research, we actually, again, found that those people who were no longer getting in the shower tub, their skin was in as good or better condition than those people that were still getting in the tub or shower twice a week.
Oh, this is great. I want to share with the audience your website. It is www.bathingwithoutabattle.edu.unc. And there is another website, correct, Joanne? It's pioneernetwork.net.
Yes, yes.
And I
have written down it's unc.edu, but I might be at the end of that first one.
Maybe if they go into Google and type Bathing Without a Battle,
they'll get there. There's a book that's been written, which is helpful, but that's really more for professionals. That's at Springer Publishing. But on the Bathing Without a Battle website, there's a lot of really good information, as well as a DVD that's a staff education. Family members can also find it useful. So there's a lot of really good information there to help people with this most challenging situation.
Joanne, thank you so much for enlightening all of us on this, and want to thank you very much for being part of this show. I want to thank our audience for tuning in, and would like to invite you to join us next week on Tuesday, February 21st, 2 p.m. Eastern, when Polly Whitehorn, our Director of Events, will interview Nora Jean Levin, who is the Executive Director of Caring from a Distance. Thank you all again, and see you next week.
All right, thank you.